Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. I hope as you guys are listening to the show week after week, that number one, you feel my passion. I don't know how you couldn't feel my passion, but that you feel my passion about helping you shift or change your perspective as it relates to change. I also hope that my guests and I, as we have our discussions and chat about the different topics relating to change, that all of the resources and information, that you're able to capture it, take it, and implement it in your life in some way or form. And again, for me, the show is about helping you shift that perspective to help you grow your client relationships, improve your personal relationships, scale your business if that's what you're looking to do. And for me, at the end of the day, it's really trying to get you to live the life that you desire, but also that you truly deserve. So as usual, my motivational quote for today is by Michelle Rosenthal, and she says, "Trauma creates change you don't choose. Healing is about creating change you do choose." So lately, everything seems to be just spiraling out of control. First, we had the COVID epidemic. Then we have this awful situation with George Floyd. You know, what the heck is going on? And why does it feel like we can't even catch our breath before another horrific story is spotlighted on the news? Now, and I feel like, will things ever settle down and slow down and get back to whatever this new reality is? And like my quote I just shared said, how can we create positive change in the wake of all of this crazy chaos? Well, today my guest, of course, I have an amazing guest who's going to answer these questions with us. Back for the second time, Jamie Amelio. Did I say your name right, Jamie? Jamie Amelio. Jamie is a philanthropist, entrepreneur, and author, and her new book called Staying Bothered, Find Your Passion, Commit to Action, Change the World. And we need this book right now more than ever. The book is a powerful guide to paying attention to our inner promptings and turning these challenges into agents of change. Now, Jamie has dedicated her life to helping children, from founding the groundbreaking charity Caring for Cambodia to leading, which we'll talk about today, to leading the front on teen suicide prevention, and then ultimately starting the Staying Bothered global movement. She shared the first part of her experience in Cambodia and Grace with Orange, how caring for Cambodia changed lives, including her own. So please help me welcome back for the second time my awesome friend, Jamie. So thanks for being on, Jamie.
Oh, Connie, thank you for having me. It's tough times right now. It really is.
Yeah, it's craziness. And we both have our t-shirts on. Yay. Staying Bothered. Yay, we match. we're moving this movement forward, right, Jim?
Yes. And whatever way it takes.
You know what?
Onward.
It's
yes.
A good message, and we're trying to change the vibration of the world. And you and I, you know, you're doing it one person at a time. I'm doing it one person at a time. And we shall prevail, right?
Absolutely. There's no other choice, I believe.
I agree with that 100%. So now let's go to your book, right? Staying Bothered. First, how has it been received in the marketplace, and what's some of the feedback or stories, or how is it resonating with people? What's that sound like to you?
It's been doing terrific, and one of the things that I've loved hearing the most is that people have been able to take what bothers them, something that's personal to them, and really act on doing something about it instead of just keeping it inside and almost complaining about it, but yet not really moving forward. And there's a few tips in there where I say, you know, get yourself organized, really commit to change if you feel that passion and you want to do something about it. I think that's really important in our world right now. And it's funny that it's not about staying bothered. We're all bothered right now. It's what we're going to do with it.
Yeah. And that's it. What's the next step? And whatever, we don't know. I mean, you know, COVID and everyone, all of my colleagues and clients that I'm speaking with, we're as things start to open, right, we're saying, okay, let's do this. But we're treading very, very slowly and very carefully. A year from now, there's none of us can predict what that's going to look like, because we don't know. We don't know what this virus is going to do, right? So, it's what do we do next? Now, I want to just mention, Jamie, everyone, Jamie and I recorded a show a few months back when the book first came out. So worth going back and listening, because Jamie shared a whole bunch of tips, because I know a lot of people listening, well, how can I make a difference? How can I be part of that change? And we talked about going from, you know, donating a dollar if that's all you can afford because of time and financial constraints, to, you know, starting your own movement if you want to do something on a grand scale. Please go back and listen to that show. Very, very much worth it. And I don't want to go back and redo what was done. But it talks about staying bothered and really what that next step is for you. So now for today's show, Jamie, please tell the listeners, what does staying bothered mean? Let's at least set that foundation for today's conversation.
Well, when I originally wrote the book, it was to share with my friends, family, and the world how I continue to run an organization where it's difficult, it's hard. We get back into doing things and our life changes, so our passion changes. But when you commit to doing something really important, you've got to follow through with that. If I said I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. So I talked about the challenges I had and staying committed and making sure that those kids years ago that I promised would get an education would continue to do that. And as I'm doing that, I'm living. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I went through some really tough times with a teenager, both my teenagers actually. So it's the story about how I was committed to starting something wonderful and then how life happened and how your bother can actually change and you can move on to something else, which right now couldn't be any more relevant. Our bother has changed.
It's true.
So I share my experiences and what that looks like.
It's true. And I was sharing with my sister, I was talking about you. It was funny. You were just top of mind because we were doing the show. And, you know, my sister had breast cancer twice and then finally had double mastectomy, reconstructive, you know, the ovaries removed, all of that kind of thing for preventive care. And she and I were talking the other day because the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry, they have part of the story and part of the healing. And then we have the other piece, which is the energy healing, that mind, body, spirit piece, right, where we could take a little bit more control and heal ourselves. So on her journey, now that she's past that, right, and she says, I'm still angry because I didn't know then what I should have been doing for myself from an energy standpoint. So she's bothered enough that she is trying to, now she's not a doctor or anything, but, and this is what we were talking about. I said, oh my God, you have to read my friend's book, Staying Bothered, because it's exactly this topic that she wants to infiltrate in whatever way she can, the medical profession, and say, and this is becoming more mainstream, at least here in the United States, that we can have that traditional cancer, you know, remedy, surgery, radiation, whatever. We're not saying don't do that, but what is the other piece of that so we can improve the healing and the end result? And more medical professionals are embracing those too. Well, she wants to be part of the change and she's very committed to doing that. So I recommended your book. It was just 2 days ago that we were chatting. And she's like, oh my God, yeah, we need to stay bothered. And I said, we do, but then life takes over and everything. But she, because she went through so much anger and rough, I mean, it was rough. And she's thinking, I don't want other people to suffer. I want to give people what I learned through that process. And I'm committed to doing that. So it's things like that. It doesn't have to be anything grand, but it's what are you bothered and how can you make a difference for those who are probably going through whatever tragedy or trauma that maybe your voice can be a voice of reason and help. So this is such an important book. And it's and the funny thing is, and then I want to ask you another question. It's really, when you wrote this last year, the beginning of the year,
yeah.
Who knew COVID and who knew, right? Well, and yet, holy crap, it's even more relevant than it even was when you wrote it, and it was super relevant then. So life changes, and these books, my resources, guests like you, Jamie, are remarkable because it tries to help people see more you know, putting our blind spots on could be really, really dangerous. So I, you know, I'm a fan of the book. So now with everything going on during COVID and doctors and nurses being so darn exposed and not having enough equipment, and, you know, I know you were bothered because you're extremely sensitive. How did you stay positive and deal with all of those types of situations as well? I want people to understand where you're coming from.
It's interesting because I feel like I've spent, particularly the last 5 or 6 years, so much of my later adult life reminding myself to be positive. Be positive. You have to look at the good. And I will say there was some days early on where I was questioning myself, wondering what the heck is going on in our world. Where do you find anything positive about what's going on? The one thing that definitely pushed me through to really take a step back and take a hard look at how I could help others and inspire others during this tough time was the fact that there were so many people out helping one another. I mean, come on, when New York City, everyone walked out at 7 o'clock to cheer on, it's those moments. But I found myself saying, it's not about staying bothered. It now is about being bothered and balanced. Yeah. It was okay for me to feel horrible. I'm a leader. My kids look to me for inspiration and the whole nine yards, but you know what? I was a mess. So I allowed myself to be a mess and to be balanced and being bothered. It's the way staying bothered has shifted through this.
Yeah.
Is nothing short of extraordinary, because the lessons already that I thought I knew last week, and now given the current events, have changed onto something completely different. I was trying to build on that. And you have to be able to understand that you can be passionate about something, but then when the world makes us look at something else, it's okay to feel bad and keep on. So there was a lot of self-talk going on in my head. I didn't want the little quotes around. I didn't want any of that for a little bit. I just needed to feel it.
Yeah.
Own it. Know that life is like that. Yeah. You're not always going to feel good. But then I also had to share those real feelings with my employees. We did a check-in day, and my volunteers, I sent video messages that said, you know what, I'm a mess today. But I'm going to tell you what, we've got thousands of kids in Cambodia that are depending on us because we committed to help them. So there's always something more to do.
And I think you have to fight, like you said, these kids depend on you and they're little. Do they know what COVID means? And do they understand that people are dying from this? Maybe, yeah, they saw it up close and personal with elders and their family and what happened. But at the end of the day, it's like they want their education and all of these things. So they're kids. So yeah, you can't say, oh, well, sorry, kids, that didn't work for me because I had my own crisis at home, right? That's staying bothered. And that follow through of pulling up your big girl pants and that's saying, right, freaking deal with it. Mm-hmm. This is what I committed to. Whether I feel like it or not, I have to push through because these, you know, thousands of kids are depending on me. That's a tough message. It's a tough lesson.
It is. It really is. And I think that when we learn valuable lessons like that, the people around us just naturally feel it.
Agree. So dig a little deeper here for me. So what were you, or what are your, maybe even still, your biggest challenges? Because you're a CEO, right? You're an author, the book, right? You're a parent, you're a leader in the community, right? So how or what tips can you give to everybody listening? Because I know the people I'm talking to, their heads are still spinning. And now that we're coming out of it, there's more fear of, well, what happens now? Like for me, I'm starting to go back to my live training. My clients are saying, we're going to take the precautions. You have to wear a mask, 6 feet social distancing. Well, I give my mom her shower every week. So I reached out to my siblings and I said, it's been okay up till now because I've insulated myself knowing I had that responsibility. And I shouldn't say responsibility because I chose to do it. I said, but now what? Like, God forbid, right? So what, shift and pivot yet again. What's the solution? How are we going to handle this? Because I don't want to be the one to potentially expose them, even though I'll be hyper vigilant with my, you know, with what I'm doing. So what have you felt that you're dealing with that could help the listeners listening? Because I'm sure we're all going through that right now.
We definitely are, no doubt. And I think one of the biggest challenges as a CEO was having to stay home, and my kids are at home. So guess what? I'm a professional, I all of a sudden have to do some homeschooling and I have to run an organization and a company. So that was really, really hard. So yeah. I could understand what other moms and dads felt like when all of a sudden everybody's at home and you have to talk about school. But what was happening on the flip side of that is I'm dealing with our 21 schools in Cambodia who they called off school too, beginning of March. They're at home. Connie, they don't have the internet. They don't all have laptops. So I'm trying to figure out how to stay positive when those kids, and some days going to those schools, the meal they had would have been the only meal they had that day, suddenly shut off. So what do you do? How do you make those tough decisions? Well, I prayed a lot. And I really did just at some point had to give it up to a higher power, whatever that is, because you can't make all the right decisions.
Yeah.
So trying to stay positive in a place where you have your kids doing her homework on her laptop. She misses her friends. You have other kids in another country that can't go to school and can't get food and can't do their homework. So you know what? It's not about the plan. Sometimes it is about the pivot. So we had a lot of discussion and we did homework packets. We printed stuff. It cost us more money than we would have ever thought on that. And this was going to be our biggest fundraising year ever in the history of Caring for Cambodia. And I'll be darned if we didn't really just stop dead in our tracks. So as a CEO, having to make those tough decisions that you don't get trained for when it comes to a human life is really difficult. As a mom, trying to be positive and spend time, I heard so often, oh, we're able to spend all this time with our kids. I was working more. I wasn't driving anywhere. I'm in front of Zoom, Skype, whatever. So I had to stop for a minute and send out different hours to my team and say, you know what? You can reach me between this time and this time. I'm going to take a few weeks here with my kids because I may never have them all in one space like this for a long time again. So making those tough decisions and being okay with the fact it may not be the right one, but sometimes you have to just do it. You have to make a call. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're so afraid to make the wrong call. Not making a call at all is the wrong thing to do. So even if you mess up, oh, well, right. You learned from it. You figured it out. And the kids learned from it, whatever. But you got it. I agree. That's the real pivot of not sure, going to do it. Let's see what happens. The chips will fall, you know, where they may. So that's really, really important. How did COVID affect the teens? I know you have teens in the house and you're talking to their friends and everything, because that's a concern of mine. Mine are 20 and 23. So I haven't had that teen, conversations. How is that? What shift or what fears are coming from this? Have you seen?
I think that, first of all, I don't think that we are going to see the real, what this has really done to our teenagers for a while.
Yeah.
I think knowing now, and luckily my youngest is a daughter, so all the girls chatter much more than the boys. But my older son, who had gone through rehab and was in a residential treatment center and was going to school, I can't imagine what that would have looked like during COVID times, where he couldn't deal with his stress and anxiety to begin with, but then not being able to get out. So I know that there are parents out there that have struggled with this kind of thing over the last few weeks. I'll be anxious to see what that looks like. Teens need to fail. They need to get into a space where they can feel uncomfortable, where the struggle really gets inside their head, and physically sometimes too. So in talking to some of my daughter's friends, the number one thing they missed was, it was their friends, of course, right?
The socialization.
But then all of a sudden, what became interesting is they missed school. You ask a teenager this time last year if they liked school, the answer is no. None of them did. But maybe something came out of this that they will appreciate their education more than they ever have before. I'm hoping that that's part of the silver lining, or whatever we want to call it, the lessons learned.
Yeah.
But this will have quite an effect on our teenagers and how they manage their feelings and the parents. The parents have been with them all this time. What does that look like? And I think we're going to have to really keep a close eye on that. Therapy's going to shift. Teachers are going to have to talk to their kids, their students, in a different way. Mm-hmm. And now I believe parenting is also going to shift, because we're all deeper. We're all more open with our feelings, because things could change tomorrow. We thought we were in a direction, and guess what?
Yeah. COVID did teach us that, you know, tomorrow it might not be the same as today, as quick as that. It's funny, my one son who was in college, everything, of course, shifted to online. So he came home and, you know, it was funny. We had to hardwire our computers. So it's really kind of funny. I'm in a 3-4 floor townhouse. So it's quite large. We have cords from the internet in the middle of the house, down the stairs to my office, up the stairs to the bedroom, up the stairs. It's really funny. We have cords everywhere. You do what you got to do because he had tests and he couldn't get booted out because it was timed and all of these things. And it was very interesting to see some of the teachers who really stepped up and were Zooming more than even just the regular class and saying, listen, if for some reason you can't get on the internet because your mom and dad are working, I'm going to do all of the classes, jump on any of them, right? I'm going to make sure I cover the same content. Gave them some wiggle room with tests, you know, some things like that. Other professors, basically went my son really struggled with this one class, and the professor basically went on vacation and took videos in his university. They videotape the classes so that if a kid is ill, they could just watch the class and stay up to date, which is great. It's a great byproduct. Well, he used videos from a couple of years ago, posted them, didn't do any live training, had his office hours for questions. And my son said, because he was struggling, he's a marketing major and it was a finance class, finance isn't his thing. And so every night at dinner, hearing his stress, he says, Ma, like, I don't even know what question to ask, because as I'm reading these, watching these videos, it's not what we're covering in the book because they were 2 years ago. And so that professor went on vacation, yet we didn't get a refund, right, for that. And my son felt mm-hmm. and all I kept saying to him is, I hear you. I understand. Guess what? This is life. Figure it out. Use all the resources you can. Get through the class. You fail the class, you take it again. That's the word. You're not going to die, or hopefully, right, with COVID, you didn't know. But, you know, he was healthy. I said, just do what you have to do. Figure it out. This is life. And sometimes you meet people who are jerks. So you might have a boss just like this professor. What are you going to do? Right? These are the lessons that you have to learn. I felt his frustration, but at the end of the day, be an adult, figure it out, and do what you got to do. That's life.
That's life.
Yeah.
It's just so true. And we can't try and teach those lessons all the time. They have to feel it. One of the things about a weekend, I said to my daughter, what can I do? What do you need from me? She said, stop offering so much advice. All right. You know what? She was right. Just zip it. Sometimes as a parent and a leader, you have to just zip it and listen. Just listen.
It's hard.
And I learned that through staying bothered early on with caring for Cambodia, listening to the Cambodians. And then I learned it again with teenagers. I have 6 kids, so they've gone through the stages. But isn't it funny how we think we learned something, but truth is, it comes right back at you in reminders of real life. It's not fair.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But if you make a commitment and you're really bothered about something, go back and make sure you keep that commitment no matter what.
Absolutely.
It's tough.
It's tough because we're easily derailed because of all these things we're talking about, life, right? We derail and it's hard to get back on track, but you have to. How do you feel about, because, you know, you're a nonprofit, you started a while ago. How do you feel for someone who's thinking of starting a nonprofit now? What do you think the pros and cons are?
That's so interesting to think about for me, because the first week I thought about how wonderful it was that everyone was really coming together and doing these wonderful things. And in my book, I talk about if you want to do something and start your own nonprofit, take your time, go do some research, maybe just partner with another organization that's already done that and is doing well and could even use the support. But you know, today I would just guesstimate there's probably 100 new organizations that have popped up over the last 30, 45 days. And I would say if you can wait before you start that enormous commitment, take a look at others that are really doing something. I mean, the masks, there were drives for masks and the equipment and food for our frontline nurses and doctors. And starting an organization is a commitment. It's a commitment. You can't start something like that and next year change your mind.
Yeah.
You really shouldn't do that. So in the midst of wanting to do good, when we all wanted to do good, sometimes it's important to take that breath. and just wait and look around for just a hot minute.
Yeah, it's true. And it was cute. I have a aunt, and she's 86, 87, maybe. And she sews, you know, makes quilts and stuff like that. So every year she makes quilts for senior citizen housing, you know, the nursing homes, little lap quilts and stuff. So it's cute because she's senior citizen doing it for others. But she immediately took all this material she had and started making masks and donating them to the local hospitals. And, you know, she's 80 something years old. You know, how many masks could she have made? But she felt compelled to do something. And
people
she felt,
need that.
And what's my talent? I can sew. I can make masks. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So yeah, it doesn't have to be starting a whole new nonprofit.
That's right. And this has brought out some of the best of the best. Yeah. I would say it's the beautiful best in so many of us that we may not even know we have. I mean, for your aunt to do that, would she have ever thought in a million years to go make masks and help others? And so many people have thought, what can I do to help others? So they're bothered now. I'm just praying that we can keep that bothered as time goes on.
Yeah.
Because if we concentrate on those really good things, it's good for the entire world.
It is.
It just is.
And Jamie and I guys were talking before we started the recording, and we said first COVID, then, you know, the George Floyd, and, you know, what the heck is freaking going on? And we both said the world, it's like we're in a snow globe and we're getting shaken up. And we're going to see where the chips fall. And hopefully, Jamie and I were saying that shaking up is really where we're uncomfortable. And that's where the change comes in. So I'm embracing and curious. And I feel, humanity, that we will come through in a positive, better way. I have faith. I have faith in the human race that we will find our way and create something better than what was. And I mean, I'm hopeful, right? I'm not Pollyanna, because I know that there's thugs out there, right, doing what they're doing with the rioting, which is unconscionable, because this is a serious situation, a disgusting, serious, horrific situation. And we should be bothered by it, but we should be able to navigate it in a way that's going to move us forward in a healthy way, not in a destructive way. And I have faith in humanity. I want to talk about the Cambodia for a second, especially in the United States, and you live in the U.S. as well. You know, our kids, you said they're missing school. And last year, oh, school's stupid, man. They don't realize what a privilege is. And I think now maybe they're going to see really who the good teachers are, who are gifts, right? They're meant to teach.
Yeah.
Now, these kids in Cambodia, right, didn't have computers. They didn't have the luxury that we have of internet. And most, I'm not saying all of the United States, right, because there were some sticky situations. But for the most part, right, we're pretty fortunate. So what's happening with Caring for Cambodia? Now, you have the 21 schools. You educate over 6,500 kids. The organization was founded in 2003. So Jamie has stayed bothered for almost two decades, and they're dealing with all of this as well. What's happening, and maybe how can people even help? That, like, I feel very fortunate, right? So how can we help, maybe support, and now they're hearing you and your story, how we can support you and the kids in Cambodia?
Well, going to the website is the first thing. Go take a look at these kids. It's caringforcambodia.org. But to see the teachers on the ground there actually work so hard, and I knew they worked hard before, but the way that they shifted and what they did, and look, they still can't go to school, but I have my teachers and my administrators going and packing food. We had to make, that was a tough decision. But are we going to feed the kids if they can't be in the classroom, or are we going to worry about them getting sick and they can't eat while we're worried about them getting sick? So it's a tough decision. And, you know, it costs $180 a year to send one child to school. I mean, a dollar goes such a long way there. And, you know, I almost feel guilty about asking anyone to help in a country like Cambodia when we are watching what's happening around us.
Yeah.
And that's been tough. But the truth is, a dollar, $10, it makes such a difference. I mean, 15 bucks a month for a kid to go to school. So it's a country that's still getting over the genocide of the 70s. We can't forget that either.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen in the future.
Yeah.
So 21 schools, over 6,500 kids at home.
Yeah.
But we're going to get through it because they're resilient and they know we support us. Do you know the first week of Skype calls with them, my team was so worried about us and what was happening in the U.S. They were completely blown away. Are you okay? Are you sick?
Stop.
I mean, they saw what was happening in New York City and they it was amazing. It was amazing to feel the love like that.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
And the same with George Floyd. They're sending me messages. I'm so sorry your country's going through that. I'm sorry too. We could not, no one could have foreseen how bad this was going to get. No way. We're not going to say the right thing. You know, we're trying,
yeah. And I mean, you don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't ever want to hurt anyone's feelings out of not choosing the right words, you know, not never with malice, but everybody is so hypersensitive. It's funny because people with so little, that when they show that kindness exponentially, it's like, wow, like it just stops you in your tracks. And I know what you're saying, asking for money from people, you know, look at our unemployment rate. It's real. Yeah. You know, people, you know, don't have money. And we have rental properties in Cleveland, Ohio, ironically. It is what it is. And the one young lady, she's been a great tenant for 4 years. She takes care of the place. Like if the faucet leaks, she calls the property management. I think you want to fix it, you know, like it's her own, right? And we appreciate that as owners. And she lost her job. And so she called the property management and said, I can't make this month's payment. And our contract was up for the lease for the next year. So they called us, well, what do you want to do? And it was so funny. My husband and I said, oh, tell her not to worry about this month, right? Big deal. And again, I had no income coming in. My husband lost his job. And our instinct was tell her no big deal because we appreciate what she was going through. And for the next 2 months, June and July, she only has to pay 50%, give her a chance to get on her feet. She was so appreciative. And I said to my husband, wow, I'm glad she was appreciative, number one. I said, but she was taking care of our house before this. She's really going to treat it like her. And that was not our intent. Please don't take that the wrong way.
No, I understand. But that's the beauty of humankind right there. That's it.
Yep.
That is it.
And it wasn't a big deal for us, right? In the scheme of things, it was a big deal for her. So little things add up to big things. And, you know, $180 a year, and anybody listening, even if you can donate $5, and I am going to put caringforcambodia.org on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change website, guys, those kids can use our help. And, you know, for me, it's always about the kids, right? That everybody deserves to get educated, because with education becomes possibilities for them, and these kids might find the cure for cancer, right? They're brilliant. They're
absolutely
brilliant minds as well, so we want to continue to be part of the solution. So I will post that. We're out of time, but guys, I want to give you, please go to Jamie's website. It's stayingbothered.com. Highly recommend reading the book. Summer's coming. Great read for the beach. It might spark some stimulation for you of something that you kind of been gnawing at you that you would like to create nonprofit or join something that's already in place and help them, you know, propel it forward. You can go to the website caringforcambodia.com as well as donating through caringforcambodia.org. Listen, I am going to post all those websites. I know I just gave you three and you're thinking, what? Go to each of them, you know, check it out. Buy the book. Jamie, I love that book because I do think that we need to stay bothered. And it doesn't have to be big things, guys. I hope you're listening. Those little steps, those little things that we can do from a point of kindness adds up to remarkable change and wonderful things in the world. So the book is amazing. Anything else, James, you want to share before we
sign know, up? I just say, as you're staying bothered, be balanced as well. Staying bothered is not, it's hopefully a path to peace. We can be bothered and be positive. It doesn't have to be negative.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Right. But find the good in it and how you can be a part of that productive, positive change. Agree. But balance. And that's been a tough one with COVID, keeping that balance.
Absolutely.
Because it was easy to get sucked into the media hype and the people were dying. It's tragic. It's a tragic.
Yes.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. We're not minimizing any of this, guys, by far. Also, please take your free communication style assessment at my website, whitmanassoce.com. www.webmd.net/CSA. You get a cool little report. It spotlights some of your superpowers, our natural strengths that we're born with, and it also spotlights some of your blind spots, which we all have, by the way. By shining lights on our blind spots, sometimes we can build skill, and for me, it's all about communicating effectively. So go find out if you're a heartfelt advocate, a stimulating motivator, an innovative organizer, or maybe you're a precise assessor, or perhaps you're an organizing designer. And I'm not going to tell you what they are. You have to go investigate for yourself. I hope our show today shared some highlights from a good place, and hopefully Jamie's recommendations and tips and made you feel like, holy crap, I'm not alone in this. I was feeling the same thing, and it's all okay, and that we're all juggling, and how can we be our brightest, most wonderful selves? And I hope Jamie shared some amazing insight for that. So Jamie, thank you for being on. As always, a delightful show.
Thank you for having me, Connie. You're the best.
Yeah, true pleasure. Right. My girlfriend from Texas, right? And I'm wearing T-shirt. It arrived this morning, guys. I was so excited. And you guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change, it's inevitable. Hopefully the tools that I provide and my guests provide on the show just help a little bit to make that navigation a little bit smoother and easier on you. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Thank you to my awesome guest. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired, healthy, and safe week. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.